morning. Today is Friday before truckers. That's kind of how we think of it around here.
That's right.
Does that work for you too?
You know, love going to the trucker parade.
Good. Want to volunteer? We're still chasing one spot.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit more intricate. You know, when you come to an intersection, you need not that intersection, but both sides. So
yeah.
You need two pairs, two teams at each intersection, and we're short one person. So if you and Mary just, we can give you a really snappy-looking vest.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Even went out and bought some new flashlights yesterday just to make sure everybody was all right. I sense you're going to be in the anonymous multitude.
You know,
just watching you go by.
It's dark and it's chilly. It's a good time to bring some hot chocolate and a lawn chair. And it's supposed to be dry tonight, so that's good.
Well, tonight's great. We're worried about tomorrow,
yeah,
though.
Tomorrow night. Yeah, that's
yeah.
A little.
It's
little
a nice iffy. Trend, though, if we can take that one out. All right. Why do they say that? Let's see if we can find one here that is. Busboy. How did a busboy get that name?
Because they met the buses to take their luggage.
You're applying logic to this. It doesn't.
No.
Bus is a shortened form of the Latin omnibus.
Okay.
Meaning for all. A bus boy or omnibus boy is one who does this, that, and everything for all.
Okay. That sounds like a good job description to have.
Good, yeah. Put that one on your card, huh?
Right.
Well, I guess we finally got the formalization of the vote.
Yes.
As the manager of the largest city in the county.
That sounds like an interesting preface.
Yes, you've been around long enough now, you understand what I'm doing. What kind of comments did you have, not about the outcome, we can talk about that, but about the process?
Well, I think this was our first election with the new ward system that the voters approved in 2016. You know, we went through a process then of creating the wards and getting and making sure they're within kind of 2% of each other in terms of population size. One of the things that isn't looked at is like number of registered voters in a ward, and I think that was one issue that people brought up. But you know, you really can't look at that because that can change based on a number of factors. It really has to be based on population. As a representative, you represent this number of people, not this number of kind of registered voters.
Was there the choice?
No, there really was. By state, you have to bring within population. So it really doesn't say anything about looking at registered voters.
So you could agree 100% and it wouldn't have changed anything.
Right.
You're right.
And
Sacramento got us again.
You know, the other thing you look at, though, too, is, you know, you try to make sure you're not cutting across, in a sense, neighborhoods. And certainly this.
Well, that's one thing you don't have to worry about in Eureka. We really don't have neighborhoods.
Well, there are some distinct areas.
Yeah, there's a couple of blocks, perhaps, right. Or a cul-de-sac.
Yeah,
but as far as
more than
you know,
like you wouldn't
significant,
run
significant, like most towns
you know, like you
have.
Wouldn't run a ward line down the middle of Lumbar Hills, for instance.
Oh, sure.
Something like that.
Yeah, so you lop it off at the bottom, yeah. And that would make sense. But when you get into the downtown or most of the residential areas, you know, you got to draw it somewhere.
Yeah, and I think all in all, people were pretty, I think, satisfied with the terms of how the ward boundaries were
so
drawn.
What ward do we live in?
We are...
I have no idea. That's my response, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm in Austin Allison's ward, and I believe you are,
I'm somebody
too.
Else?
I can't remember how that boundary now splits between where you and I live.
This is so easy to do, folks.
Well, especially if you have the map in front of
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly. It's 8:19.
It's it's sounding like Christmas all over Easy Radio 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM. It's all your favorite Christmas music all the time. Christmas music is yours 24 hours a day on 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM. Bing, The Carpenters, America, and more contemporary singers like Dolly Parton, Kenny Rogers, Michael Bublé, and others. It's our kind of Christmas music on Easy Radio 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM, the Christmas station. Tell your friends.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks, Eureka's city manager. So, Greg, with the ward system, and I know it's going to take a couple of times before all the wrinkles get ironed out and all that kind of stuff, and it's some of the old dogs will try to get used to this different approach that even though the town is as small as it is, and the population base is as small as it is, that we don't have the opportunity to vote for all of the people on, up there on the dais.
Right.
What are you going to be looking for as canaries or roadside markers, whatever analogy you want, to see if this thing is really making sense, or if it's, oh no, we got to do something about this, and we got to do something about it pretty darn quick before it really goes off the rail?
Well, on the extreme end.
Let's play 100% everybody's happy, we don't touch it.
Yeah.
Okay. Nobody's happy, we got to do something.
Yeah, on the extreme end, if it of not working would be as if each council member only viewed themselves as a ward council member and only, and they want all the resources for their ward and don't care about any other ward. That's of it the extreme example. I've worked in a lot of cities that have been mostly combinations of ward and at-large seats.
Oh, so you have like three or four specific and then two or three that everybody votes on.
You know what?
That would even be okay.
Never seen a difference between how a ward council member and an at-large council member approach their job. I've had, in almost 40 years, one council member who viewed himself only as a ward council member. And so that's like 1%. Now, can it happen again? Sure. But I think, again, it's like you said, we're not that large of a city. Everyone recognizes we're all in this together. Sure, where you're going to... When you run for office, you have to focus your efforts in that ward. But I'd find it hard to believe it'd be a rare instance where you get a councilman who views it as it just everything is about my ward, not about the city.
Well, okay, let's say, and I don't know, is there a ward that represents the business community by and large, or I mean, it's kind of a goofy crescent business area anyway.
It is, you know, because between Old Town, Downtown, Henderson Center, you know, South Broadway.
Well, let's use those two. Let's keep Broadway away because a majority of those, I think, are out of the area ownership. So it's a little bit different.
Yeah, that's probably,
okay. We got them all, and I mean, there's some of that. So our understanding outside the building is that police resources are somewhat limited. Now, it could be because of budget, it could be because of staffing, it could be because of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right now, I guess before everybody sits in, the new ones, police chief gets to determine everything.
Right.
Okay. With a little bit of suggestion from the electeds?
You know, I've seen the...
Maybe not even formal, just...
I haven't seen the council put any kind of... certainly not pressure or even suggestion in terms to the chief that, well, gee, you need to put more resources here, more resources there. I mean, I think as a department, you know, they've split into two, primary area, under each captain. And, I think, and the chief, whether it's Chief Watson or former Chief Mills, did a very good job of kind of communicating that both to the council and the public, how we provide police services.
And that kind of makes sense. Okay, now let's say I'm a business operator in Old Town.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we start getting a rash of activities.
Yeah.
Okay, now my district, my ward, my buddies are chomping on me because I'm their elected. We got to do something. You got to get. Okay. Now, as somebody only voted by those people,
yeah,
isn't it my responsibility to go to the mat for them and say, you know what, if Henderson Center is okay, dandy. That's not working in my part of the woods. Mm-hmm. We need to do something. I mean, wouldn't I have that responsibility as an elected from that tight jurisdiction, geographic jurisdiction, to go to the mat? Same thing if I got potholes that are swallowing up delivery trucks. You know, don't you have that responsibility?
Certainly, I think as a councilman, you want to make sure that those people who are electing you, that, you know, you're trying to respond to their concerns at the same time dealing with overall community concerns. So I think you get some of these broader issues. They call for community solutions, because trying to solve a crime problem, say, right here, sure, throw all of our resources into that one spot, then it's that constant plug in the dike kind of issue, right?
So, well, I don't think anybody would say 100%, but I need more. You know, so, the pothole, you've got X amount of tons of asphalt this year.
Yeah.
It's keeping businesses out. It's keeping customers out. It's keeping product out. There's plenty of examples of roads.
And you try to really put the resources into where they're most needed. And when it comes to roads, the highest volume traffic roads and you know, things of that nature. So, you know, little Huntoon Street where I live, not going to get a lot of resources on it from a street standpoint.
Right, but there's a couple like on Williams by Henderson Center.
Oh, yeah, you can
patch over patch.
And that is, unfortunately, throughout the community. We'll talk about Measure I, probably.
I bet you when we come back, it's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka City Manager Greg Sparks. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, American Ag Credit, Murphy's Markets, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and American Ag Credit. Greg, looking at where we are this time of the year, and I know it's tough for a lot of us because the fiscal year is different than the calendar year, and most of us, unless we're government types, involved with the budgeting process, we're fourth quarter.
Sure.
That's how it's represented across the board, but it's really middle of the second quarter. Mm-hmm. So some of the trends, I referencing it as a calendar year, okay? We've had legalization now for, well, I guess it's been legal for 13 months. It's been applied for 11 months.
Mm-hmm.
The sales tax reporting figures that you see coming through, and I know a lot of that is confidential, but in group,
right,
a large mass number is not. What are you seeing? What is going on out there? Is it as bad as some feel that it is, or are impacted and say that it is? Is it as neutral as others say? And is it, there are some guys in the area that are plus, and they're saying it's not been a bad year at all. Thank you very much. What consensus do you have for the Eureka-based businesses?
Yeah, for the overall, and certainly that's, you know, we meet quarterly with HDL that does our sales tax auditing. And there's always this lag time. So right, you know, so just a couple weeks ago we met on we got finally the second quarter of 2018. So
calendar year.
Yeah, calendar year. But the thing we've been tracking is that was the third quarter in a row where sales tax revenues were down a couple percent.
Onesies, twosies?
Yeah, a couple percent. But that's always a concern because, you know, for a number of years we've had sales tax growth of, you know, 2 to 4%. One quarter over, say, the same quarter from the previous year.
So the swing is a significant.
So then the question is, how long are we going to stay on this kind of a slightly downward trend? And are there other factors that could drive it down further? And or are there things that may
prop them back up?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I think can help prop it back up. Number one, we have low unemployment right now.
Right, trying to find. Employees is extraordinarily difficult.
And that is right, pretty much across the board. And, you know, when you talk about the impact of cannabis, the illegal versus now legal, we have 90 permitted businesses in Eureka. Now, they're not all in operation yet, and some of those are separate businesses but under one owner type thing. And that includes everything from manufacturing, distribution, yes, 90.
90.
Yes, testing. And we're seeing some of those are, you know, they're hiring people, they're expanding their operations. Some are still in the building permit process, plan review. In many cases, some of these people are kind of new to that kind of a process of, you know, of...
You're saying being legal?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Of, you know, getting the licenses and permits and building permits and that. But those things are kind of coming through the system. And I think in the next, you know, 6 months to a year, I think that will help probably even out where we've seen some of that decrease. Because there's certainly some areas there of concern when you get decreased sales tax revenue. That's our primary
get your
revenue
attention,
to
huh?
the general yeah. fund. That's what funds police and fire, in
pay
particular.
Salaries.
Pay salaries, absolutely. So we keep council abreast of that, and as we've talked on this show many, many times, and talking with the Time Standard in this last week. Is the impact of unfunded pension liability cost and CalPERS pension costs on city budgets. So that's a cost increase that keeps going up that we since don't have control over. We've got a revenue base right now that's in slight decline. It means we have to pay really close attention to any new spending. Basically, you know, we can't take on, you know, kind of new projects in that sense because the it's just trying to be able to maintain what we're doing.
So with these 90 legally permitted marijuana-related businesses.
Yeah.
We'll get to Kmart in a moment. Are these consultant types? Are these sales tax revenue generating for the city? Is it just going to change the dynamics of the business communities? Because they still have to be in the permitted zones
right.
for this stuff.
Right.
So we're going to... Are we going to see green crosses all over the place instead of retail and restaurant? I mean, what if you closed your eyes and went, okay, boom, these guys are all in and running.
Mm-hmm.
How different does Eureka look?
You know, I don't think it's going to look that much different. So many of these are in kind of small manufacturing, distribution, testing. You know, so far we only have one retail establishment. Now we have others that have been given approval for the permitting process, so they're in the queue. So we will see.
Well, when the Bank of America building downtown
right.
gets kicked over, all this,
right.
they're going to have green somewhere.
Yeah,
flag signs, something.
Yeah, we're
something.
pretty limiting on the sign piece
okay,
of that.
Okay, posters inside the window.
Sure, there'll be some of that kind of thing.
You think it's good, just going to be an incremental, little by little, and we're not going to see it? A lot of it's going to be not clandestine, but
It'll be
like
a bit
where are the CPAs in town?
Right.
You don't see them there.
It'll
much.
Be a bit incremental, but at the same time, you know, you take Bank of America building. That building was, you know, it was anytime you have a building that, of course, sits empty for a while and it's not being maintained, you get that general degradation. You get new businesses in that go in and, you know, clean things up, paint things up, make improvements. I think you'll see, you're kind of seeing more of that general improvement process going on.
Kmart.
Yeah.
Now, there's discussion on the street that Kmart is being purchased by an entity that is going to make it the largest marijuana processing facility in the country, certainly in the Western region. Okay. And I don't know if you can get into the specific use, but I mean, they got to tell you guys because it's a different use. Is that building, has it been sold? Is it an escrow? Is it legit? Or is this just a rumor that's swirling around?
Well, I think it's been one of those like best kept or worst kept secrets in town. They're in escrow. Right, it is a marijuana facility that's in manufacturing, and it's a business that, you know, it's going to be employing people, and I think they're looking at that same issue that we just talked about in terms of employees. It's to get people who know how to, you know, run equipment, fix equipment, that type of thing. That becomes some needed job training in the area.
Is that more of a lab coat rather than dreadlock?
Absolutely. Yeah.
KINS, News and Information. Yeah, okay. I need to use some kind of analogies. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 844.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The new Los Angeles flight is a great success. The planes have been full, so book now for your holiday travel. Don't miss getting a flight home for the holidays. And just in case you haven't heard, we'll have direct flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a couple hours away from the Mile High City whenever you want to go. This makes connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org. Happy holidays.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks. Greg, now we're also hearing that a lot of the property along Broadway, on the bay side of Broadway, is being purchased. Hotels, you've got the thing with the street light on Broadway. I guess on the other side, the KFC, and I don't know if that's happening or not, because that was kind of like the big, coolest, newest, greatest, and then all of a sudden that went under the radar. So what's going on along the Broadway corridor now?
Yeah, there's certainly interest in hotel development on Broadway. So I think you get some of that working its way through process. And there's always things that have to be addressed anytime on Broadway. It's in the coastal zone. So that adds a layer of...
You're saying the regulatory, not the cultural.
Right.
Yes.
Of regulatory complexity to any kind of project that goes in. So, I mean, you take... now, as In-N-Out Burgers going through Planning Commission, you know, they've got setback requirements from that Greenbelt area back there, and that had sunk previous projects of dealing with coastal wetlands, and so they've got a pretty good plan for addressing staying away from coastal wetlands. But then there's always decisions that can be appealed and that type of thing. So it's never just check off this box, that box,
way
to go.
Bumping along.
Yes.
Obviously, that whole concept of putting in streetlights. You know, I've heard that there's developer guarantees.
Yes.
Gift of public funds. Priority, allocation, all these things are swirling around. Mm-hmm. Okay, you got 2 minutes to talk to people unfettered. What, why, how come, and what is the risk exposure for the city citizenry?
That's a broad topic, but first of all, you know, the council action on approving using city funds to put in a traffic light at Vigo and Broadway was really based that in order for any kind of development to take place on that site, the old truck stop site where the In-N-Out, other restaurants and other potential retail are going to go in, would require a traffic signal. If you get into the Caltrans process, maybe in 10 years there could be a traffic signal there. So then you look at how do you fund a project like that? We don't have, and that's an expensive traffic signal. We put a upper end cost of $450,000 on that. That's definitely won't go above that. We think it'll be somewhat below that. Do you have a funding mechanism? With that development there, we know we'll generate new sales tax dollars, not just...
New to the city.
Not just taking sales taxes from McDonald's or from here or from there. This will generate new sales tax dollars. So we're capturing a portion of those new sales tax dollars to pay for that traffic signal. The developer guarantee is that if that isn't paid for in X number of years, they will make up the difference.
So what you're saying is pretty much revenue neutral.
Revenue neutral
to the city.
Then you get past 5 years, and then it's all new money coming in.
What about for traffic flow? Does it jack it up again?
South Broadway is bad traffic, right? I mean, at certain times. I mean, it's not bad 24 hours a day, but...
Just when we want to go there.
But it needs a light in order to make that work.
Thanks for coming by.
Okay.
See everybody at the Truckers Parade. Okay.